What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And as you see, we're in a new location because this is Artist Spotlight. And today, we're going to do something special. This guy, hold on, before we go there, shout out to our sponsor, Two Loss. This is Artist Spotlight presented by Two Loss. I want to give them that because they support the pod and we got to shout them out, right? And out. Not to have more confusion, because my brother Dallas Austin has his own distribution company also, but we're going to talk to Dallas about his distribution company. Shout out to our sponsors. And this show in particular is going to be sponsored by 8Water. Right. This is Dallas's water company. It's going to be an official sponsor of the shows. Yep. So you'll see more of that. But we got a legend in the house. And sometimes you say a legend. I don't think this guy's a legend. He is the legend. When I moved to Atlanta, the with two E's, the legend, right? When I moved to Atlanta in 1991, you know, you heard one person's name ringing bells. It was like Dallas Austin. He's from Herschel Road. Dallas Austin. He rides the BMX bikes. And then it was like he was giving all these sounds away. And, you know, I always admired him. And then when we met, and then we just became cool, and we've developed a relationship where I really feel like this is one of my brothers right here. That's if right. He calls me, I show up. And we're going to talk to Dallas now about his new distribution company.
DAD.
I knew it was DAD. I was going to let you say what it stood for.
Yeah, man, it's Dallas Austin Distribution. It was Dream All Day. It was Digital Audio Distribution.
Let's go.
It's whatever's going to make you happy, you know what I'm saying?
So Dallas, you started. Now, I ain't going to lie, y'all. This is going to be hard for me because Dallas is a legend, and he done so many things that I want to talk to him about. But in honor of what the show is, I'm going to talk to him about Dad.
Let's do it.
Dallas, why distribution? Why now?
Because you know what? I had record companies, man, since I was like 19, 20. I remember I had Rowdy in New York.
Yep. 20, shout out to Rowdy.
20 years old, 23 staff members. And so I've been through every aspect of the record business possible, right? And I remember when distribution for us was how many CDs and how, you know, you had to ship the CDs, you had to ship them to the store. And it was like you had to get the warehouses and the stores. And so it was a big deal back then. It was really hard to own a distribution company back then.
Yes. Right?
It was a big dream.
So securing distribution meant you did something back then.
Yeah, I mean, even if you secured it, but imagine trying to be your own BMG.
Of course.
Your own universe.
Of course. That was almost impossible.
It was impossible.
You had to have the factory.
You had the trucks, the factory.
Yes.
You know,
delivery system, all that.
When user-generated content came in, it was around the time of Soulja Boy and MySpace, and people started to figure out that, hey, man, online is going to be a form of distribution. And that's what actually kind of tripped up the music business in the first place, is them not seeing that early enough.
Yep.
And didn't think it was going to happen on their watch, so to speak. And then you start seeing the era of do-it-yourself, which, you know, everybody's making their music at home, uploading their music to MySpace first, you know. They start seeing records like Gnarls Barkley Crazy that took off from MySpace and stuff like that. And they went, hold on, this is distribution. We didn't really pay attention to this being digital distribution. So then in come the digital platforms, the TuneCores and the DistroKids and the, you know, it was the first call of like digital distribution, DIY, where you could load your music up at home, get it to the 200 DSPs, Apple Music, Tidal, you know, whoever you wanted to get it to. But it was the first time that you could actually do it. And it was the first time you were hearing, own your masters, right? Because it became, it used to be so expensive.
Yes.
You know how it was.
Yeah. Because like the masters was a physical thing to actually own. Now it's files, but it was a physical,
real.
The studio itself was so expensive. The engineer, so you had to have a budget of $300,000 to $500,000 even to have an artist.
Yeah.
That's why it was a filter system, because you had to be great. Like, we're not signing you. There's a lot of artists that wouldn't have made it without DIY. Put it like that.
Yeah.
So it made it where when you got it direct to the people was like, oh yeah, I can do that too. So the quality might have went down a lot because it was no filter.
Yeah.
But then it allowed kids to say, oh, I can do it too. I could be Soulja Boy. I could be Trippie Redd or whoever. So the distribution arm opened up. What I didn't like about where it was headed then is it was a lot of, it's volume. It's like a Dropbox, right? Spotify went and they paid a blanket license to everybody to license the music. And so they came up with this whole new configuration of a setup. And at the end of the day, all of us see that, damn, we're not really getting paid like that by it. It's great for our profile.
For sure.
It's great to say I'm on, you know, a person loads up, they want to be on Spotify, they want to be on Tidal, Apple Music. So just to see that, they feel like they made it.
Yeah.
But when you start looking at millions of streams and going, wow, this ain't the day we came from.
Yes.
You know, so I wanted to do something about it.
Yeah.
I also wanted to have a company where I felt like a lot of the companies that, you know, were dealing with, I had a label that I had Rowdy and I was still going through like a TuneCore.
Yeah.
Still had my own money, but I still couldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
So I was like, that was frustrating, you know, because I wanted to say, what's my plan and all this. So I feel like with DAD, when I set it up, I said, well, I want to have it where it's a tech company by record company people.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is the combination to win.
The combination to win. We came up with the share technology, which allows you to upload your song or your podcast or your content, and then you choose your rate for it. $10, $100, $1,000, it's up to you. And it's direct Apple Pay, direct Google Pay.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it like StockX almost.
Yeah.
And the industry's been asking for it and trying to figure it out. They don't know that we got it yet. Because it's a technology we've worked on for the last couple of years and now we got it right. Started out on the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
Started being too complicated.
Yeah.
Like, you know, nobody wants to have a MetaMask and a, you know, Coinbase wallet and all that.
For
so
sure.
Let's take that away and make it Apple Pay, Google Pay. So it's just, you know, and I think that this way, you know, like Spotify say, you know, 1,000 up, you start to get credits. But I feel like if you got 1,000 people, that's a fan of yours, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot. They downplay 1,000 views, but that's a lot.
That's a lot. And if you can get 1,000, you get to 10,000. So
yep.
We really just want to just have a company where, you know, we can't access everybody because we have people signing up from Cuba, from North Carolina, from Kentucky, from Dominican Republic, jazz records, children's records, every type of record, dance records, country records. We distribute all of them.
Yeah.
The thing about me is, I'm such a music nut.
Yeah.
I'm on the backside.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, who is this?
Yeah, you want to hear the songs. Like, yeah.
Like, who is this? Where did this come from?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And a lot of distribution companies, again, they're about, and I think a lot of artists don't know this. I was talking to an artist yesterday, and he said, man, I've been distributing my music through another company, but okay, I've done as much as I can do. I sold Web3 and all that. How do I access more fans I don't know? Right? I can get my fan base, but how do I get the ones I don't know? And I can afford to market or promote myself to that extent. I said, well, you gotta realize that most distribution companies are set up where they don't want to talk to you.
Yes.
That's the last thing they want to do.
They're not service companies.
They're not service companies at all.
The service is distribution.
That's it.
That's it.
On everybody's.
Yeah.
Like, and so for me, I would look at somebody and say, well, let's take this away from everybody signing up. Let's make it so, like, the request and invite, we check them out. And then those people, we want to make sure we help out.
Yes.
Because some people are labels that has three or four acts, like fourth quarter, three or four acts. And so when people are spending their money, you know, you've been in that position before. I'm spending my own stuff. I believe in my artists. I just need some help. Like, this was some planning.
Like an eye in the sky telling me, like, I don't mind going on the trail. Just tell me, like, yo, don't go to the left.
Right. Go to the left.
We've seen people dying going that way. Go to the right. Yeah. You're going to have a better, eye in the sky.
Sometimes you have people, you know, like, for instance, if we say, you know, give yourself 4 weeks or 8 weeks to load up the project, if it's a real project, because it has to catch the algorithm. You have to give people time.
Yes.
You can load up in 24 hours.
You know,
do that too. But to a project, when people, the difference in them saying, man, I loaded up my stuff and I didn't get any traction. You say, well, when did you load it up? Oh, I loaded up 3 days ago. Okay, well, that works. But if you wanted to get a chance to get in the system and get playlisted right, fill out your marketing drivers to say, I want to be on playlists like this, like that, that actually works.
Yeah.
Along with sometimes a call or two from one of us, like Giovanna, jump on the phone call and call Walter at Apple and say, hey, we got a priority.
Shout out to Giovanna, that's my bro.
Shout out to Giovanna. Yep. Walter say, yo, give us we need another 6 weeks before we do that one if you want to get this on the front page, if you want to get this on music first. So we do care about distribution. I care about music, so I can't turn my shoulder to it and just say, I'm glad everybody's signing up.
Yes,
you know what
yes.
And then be out of Atlanta, we're the really like the only ones who's really the distribution connection out of Atlanta for real.
Yes.
Been here, done it.
From here.
From here.
Trust it.
And we're going to grow it in the city to be one of the biggest distribution companies, like, period. Every day I get more excited. The more people I see sign up, I feel like I'm in Toys R Us.
Yeah. You know? I know that feeling. Like, yeah. Like, it's like, where do you see? How'd you find out about this? What are you doing here?
What
like,
are you doing here?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We got, like, one of the new tricks that they'll do is, like, we looked up the other day and somebody's trying to load up 10,000 songs from India. Right? So you're like, hold on, this has got to be a red flag. Who's loading up 10,000 songs at one time? Because what they'll do is, within those 10,000 records, you have some sped up versions of Lil Uzi Vert. You have some sped up versions of this record or that record. And what artists don't know is that makes another ISRC code for it. So now you get money off of that.
Yes.
So they run these scams. You'd be surprised at how many scams ran in that business. That's why you see the Megan Thee Stallion with 30 million. A lot of the bigger labels like Warner and them, they get the numbers for the profile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got the star. If the star don't look like they have the numbers, then everybody else don't believe it anymore.
Yep.
Right? But if the star goes out and does a job, she's on the road doing whatever else, then
they gotta boost the numbers.
Gotta boost the numbers.
Yeah.
If the numbers ain't going,
yeah.
You gotta boost the numbers. You see what happens if they don't. You know, you've seen a couple of cases where artists come out and they get really low numbers, and then everybody look at them and say, "Oh, we really ain't messing with you no more."
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's like you flop. You know, like you can't run that risk.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, Dad, distribution. What is it? What is your motto? And why'd you pick that motto? Like, what is your motto?
The future of music distribution.
Okay.
And I picked that motto because we're always thinking ahead of how, you know, like my next, the moment I'm really happy is when I see people, you know, they load up their song to the share part and say they want $30 for it.
Yep.
Right. So I'm looking in the backside and say, okay, let's see how that play out for them, whatever. Now you can either stream it for that 30 or they can say you can buy it or you can have it. It's up to the artist. Everything is totally up to the artist. It's
for sure.
Transparency. Another thing about it is it keeps a ledger of every single person that's your fan. So it's not like on the DSP side, I can tell you, you got 15,000 fans in London. I just can't tell you who they are.
Right? Yeah.
On the share side, you can see exactly who your fans are. It keeps a ledger for you. So it's a way that fans can, I mean, artists can build a fan base and have 10,000 fans and be like, I'm living fine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
A girl that sold it for 30, six people bought it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, because that's more money than she would have made in Spotify.
That's right.
Like, thousands of people.
She has six streams.
Six streams for 30 bucks each.
Yeah.
So I like to see that it's working for artists at that capacity. Now we're going to grow it. You're going to start seeing more marketing and promotion driven towards the share,
because
now we're ready to roll with it. But everything that Meek Mills and Snoop and everybody been talking about, like, man, we need to cut out the middleman and get paid direct. That's what we got.
So when I was asking about the model, what I meant is, like, are you guys like monthly subscription? Are you guys a percentage based? Like,
we're percentage based on one side, which is the DSP side.
Yep.
If it's a label, we negotiate with them a little different.
For sure.
Because, you know, it's more at stake for them too. Then we also have it where the share side. I mean, everybody, you always own everything.
Yeah.
From the share side, we make money from transaction fees instead of making it from artists.
Got you.
And so it sets them up like that. We're looking into some subscription forms now. But one thing I don't want to do is, I'm building my house different, so I didn't want to look at it and make it where it was either, you know, I like the way it's being filled up now.
Because it's almost like you can pick what you want. Whatever you want, you can do it.
And then, you know, the thing about the invite request, you know, we're building a community.
Yeah.
And the community of DAD people are people that's artists and they're musicians and they're producers. And, like, you know, when I sit back on the backside and I listen to, like, a Nick or I see, you know, a rap artist, whoever we have, I like the different combinations of what I'm hearing. And we don't get bad music. That's
the
I don't know if it's because of people kind of looking at my name or looking at the stand and say, well, Dallas will probably like something like this. You know, this will probably work for me there. But out of all the bad music you would think I would get having a distribution company, it's not like that for some reason.
I was just about to ask you that. Like, do you feel pressure being Dallas? Because, like, I have a community, right? And shout out to my Dreamers community, the God Squad. But what I noticed that I had to change the minds of the people in there is I'm here to help you guys build your business. But they want to be a part of my business. And I'm like, no, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm a vessel to help you build your space. I'm not, you don't want to sign to me. So, like, I could just imagine the pressure of you being Dallas Austin and someone open music saying he might hear this. Is that like, do you feel that? Like,
I mean, it's the good part and the weird part about it, because that's the good part about it is that they at least feel like somebody's paying a form of attention. If you get through that request invite, you know, it's something that my staff, everybody in my staff has been working for 30 years in the record business.
Yes.
You know, and by us being a part, by Gamma coming in now and being, you know, what they are and kind of the media conglomerate and us partnering through there, it gives me access to people like Lionel and everybody else that's broke my records for 30 years and Larry and the whole, so it's feeling like our whole thing feels like the music industry again, but it feels like in a digital world and it feels like in a powerful media world. But all the things that that we value. Like, we still value a mix show. Yeah. Sorry, I still like radio play.
Yes,
me too. I still feel like the DJs are important.
I mean, because you've been picked. Beta Blue Digital is the first ever official hip-hop sync licensing company created. The platform is an alternative outlet for artists and producers to monetize their music outside of the traditional DSPs and the conventional music industry. It is 100% free. No subscription fees, no hidden fees. All submissions are non-exclusive. They currently have 7 partnerships and counting with other music publishing companies and more to come. They are in an aggressive expansion phase. So any and all music executives, music supervisors, major artists, major labels interested in jumping on board for opportunities, it's time to join the movement. Beta Blue Digital, let's go. I mean, it means something. Like, it means that, and not only that, the audience is there. I actually think, do you think radio is making a comeback or gonna make a comeback?
I think it's made a comeback in a sense, because if you look at records like the Tyler record, or like even as big as they can get on TikTok, it becomes real to people when it's on the radio.
And that's, to me, radio is now the final frontier.
It's the final frontier
that lets us know it's important.
And right? it's
even
expensive.
If we don't think it's important, it is. That's why we know it's important.
It used to be the video.
It used to be the video.
But there's no outlets for that anymore, so it has to be radio.
What you're saying.
When you hear radio, it's like the final now. It's like, wow, like they really made it. Yeah, we just heard them at 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
on V103 or on Hot 97, like that's a real thing. It's the law of that will never go nowhere.
And then if you pay attention to what's happening with radio and how, to me, I think it's coming back, because to me, I think R&B is making a rush back.
Yep.
And I think that in order for R&B to work for a long period of time, you have to program it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like rap is easy because rap is talking. Rap, you know, like, if you say something that we understand and we can follow it, we might sing along to it. R&B singing is, we gotta, like I always tell people, like Whitney Houston's, I have nothing. What's the one she's like, "Now I'll Always Love You," the one where she, "Saving All My Love for You." Like, as people have sung that song for 100 years and not realize that she's the side chick in this song. Right? If it was a rapper, I think we might have caught that.
That's true.
But because she sung it, it sounded so beautiful. So when you hear her say, "You have your family and they need you there," you're probably thinking like, "Oh my gosh, she's so sweet." No, she's telling him, "You like when you're done with him, when you're done with your family, I'm gonna be here waiting for you," right?
Yeah.
So rap is a little different, because when you hear "Wipe Me Down," you know what he's talking about, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But I think that R&B is making a huge comeback to its relevancy. And I think it's being ushered in by radio, because rap is not about radio. Rap is about just the streets and the kids and the streaming and the YouTubing and the he killed somebody, he made a song. They go down a rabbit hole. And R&B is about the song. Radio has always been about the song.
Always about the song, and always convinced you. Like, it went through that phase where the playlist and digital. It is still not important, but it's turned into its own ocean at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't find anything new, like, unless somebody tell you.
That's
whatever.
The hardest part.
Like, that's the hardest part. So now it's got to the point where, and I think the DJs had to, you know, the DJs had to get back to being almost selective in a sense.
Yes.
Because everything goes everywhere.
Yes.
If the DJ isn't selective no more, if you just go pay the DJ, you can play anything, then you might as well be in playlisting. So they let what was important for the DJ kind of get saturated by being asleep at the wheel while the playlisting was happening, right?
And also taking money. Damn, I never think about that. Like, because playlisting almost took the DJ out.
Playlisting
almost took the DJ out. No. On a panel, at the bank.
That's what we talked about.
And they said, and it was Wood Roll DJ playing. I was like, I think DJ, I went in. I said, DJs to me have overplayed their hand.
That's right.
Like, they thought they were essential.
Yes.
And then it got to this place where, and the part about DJs that I didn't like and I don't like is that if you're not there, a DJ will play your shit. Right? Like, play your shit. You ain't there. But as soon as you walk in, they want you to pay them to play.
I want you to play.
Like, oh, you here? Give me something now. And it's like, bro, if I wasn't here, you would have played it.
Bro, it turned into, like, I don't know if you remember the whole phase, but at one point the DJs, I'm not going to call out any radio DJ names, but all the radio DJs, not just in Atlanta and other places, start being like, okay, well, we're making y'all, so where's our money at?
Yeah.
Where's our royalty at? Or where's our back end on this at?
That's his world. That's your world. Go, Rick.
Listen, that has been it was a turn. Was they like, yo, we keep breaking all these artists. We keep breaking all these artists. We'll come to the club. It's like, this is when it was like the rise of the South.
Yes.
Mid-2000s.
Sure.
Absolutely.
We'll be home in New York.
Talk about it.
I'll give you a perfect example. Damn, I don't want to say no names without destroying nobody. But There'll be, say, several New York artists, very, very known, right? They'll come into the club. They won't even attempt to say hi to the DJ. Go there. They expect you to do that. Young Jeezy, at the height of his powers, came into the club. His whole team went to the section. Hold on. He goes to the DJ. Talks. Yo, appreciate it. Boom, boom. Did everything.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You heard Gigi for the next 2 hours.
Yep.
All the New York dudes over there tight. They like, man, he showed me mad. Like, how can I not?
Yep.
That's a real thing. They feel like you have to come to us for these things to get broken.
For real.
So now they like, yeah.
Now, but
you know what I'm saying?
And now to that, and I'm going to blame my brother, 2 Chainz and Tech. 2 Chainz, Tech, and Al. They really messed it up for the city with DJs because they were the first guys who gave every DJ who broke the record or they knew was playing it a plaque.
Oh, that's another big
and
thing.
And then them plaques. DJs.
That's another thing.
They will go, when them plaques 2 Chainz giving out and you was like, I got mine. People like, I played it in on Old National at the Hood Club. And you didn't.
And they want a plaque.
And to me, I feel like there are just as many DJs as they are artists right now. So you guys can't, you guys got to do what the artists are doing if you want to be special. Stand out. Like, make yourself a brand. Like, make yourself a marketplace.
Yes.
I don't understand why DJs are not understanding the concept of branding. DJ Drama built a Khaled. Those two showed you the blueprint. K-Slay, Flex. These guys showed you the blueprint on how to be the brand.
You have to treat yourself as an artist, as a DJ. Yes. You're an artist.
Go ahead and do it.
Right, you're an artist.
But not only that, a singer sings, a rapper raps, a DJ plays records.
Mm-hmm.
And a singer sings what works for them, a rapper raps what works for them, and a DJ should play what works for them and their audience, not, hey man, who got the money? Well, hey, I ain't playing. And it's like, bro, you killing it. Because, dog, I have not heard a record in a club for the first time.
And I don't know when.
It's been a minute.
No, but not only that. And I was like, who is this? I got to have it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, 100%. You know what I'm trying to say? It's just hard for that. So I'm looking at the DJs and I'm like, I think we all in the music industry, I think the internet has humbled all of us.
It has.
Yes.
It humbled the producers because now it's like you got when a kid goes viral on a song that he produced in his bedroom with his homie and he rapped on the phone, every producer in the world is being devalued at that moment because they're saying, I didn't need you. Every time they go, like when you got people like Uzi and Playboi Carti and these guys who are killing it, selling out arenas that don't come to the clubs to play records. That don't do that. That's true. Killing the DJ thing. So it's like we all overplayed our hand. It humbled all of us.
Yes.
And I think that we're in a time now where now it's like it's kind of broken down. I don't know if the number, I would ask you, is the number of songs being uploaded today still going up or has it plateaued?
I mean, it's still going up because, again, the dream is different. The majority of the people aren't thinking they're going to be huge enough to be a radio.
Yeah.
They're just thinking that, man, if I get my stuff out, I can be local. If I'm in Columbus, Georgia, or if I'm in, you know, Mississippi or somewhere in a small town, and my shit show up on Spotify, I made it.
Yeah.
If I'm on YouTube, I made it. If I get to that load up point, and I can show them around here.
Because for some reason, that feels official.
It feels official.
It feels like, no, I'm out. Look at me. You got 3 plays, bro.
We get more people wanting to be on World Star Hip Hop.
What?
When they sign up. Can you get us
a law of attention? But then you got now a bunch of artists like Tech N9ne who's made a gazillion dollars and nobody can tell you what he looks like.
Nobody.
For sure.
And by the way, he lives in the Midwest. He had enough money to live in LA and the Hollywood Hills. But
stayed home.
He understands the power of being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Dallas, I want to ask you, so dad, what people don't understand to me, I look at podcasts. Podcasts is a chance to get your message out there.
Yep.
It's a chance to tell people what you want. If you were talking to every artist in the world and they were all saying, why dad, or what do you want of dad? What kind of artists, companies, partners do you want on the dad platform?
I want people that's serious about it, you know, like people that's really serious about their careers. So sometimes we look at an artist in the request, and it's not about if they got 500,000 streams, or they got on this ballet, what's the consistency? Do they have management? Look at their Instagram. So are they really somebody that is trying to do this?
Yeah.
Because it's not like basketball in the music business. Like, you got so many fugazis in it that don't have to be the ones that play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you want to vet it now, and I want to make it where my house should be built out of the quality that it takes to take these younger artists and take them to the next step for real, mm-hmm. help them, at least guide them, or give them some form of like. And when it comes to a label, you know, if you're an indie label, every indie label wants a staff meeting with the distribution company.
They just want to feel like you telling them what's missing.
Tell us what to do. Yeah. I had an artist one time. He said, "Look, man, I got 50,000 for my first single. So I think what we're gonna do is I'm gonna put 10 over here, 20 like this, and 30 like that." So I sat with Jovan. He brought it to the attention of the staff. I said, "Wait, man. Let's lay that out for him the right way. Guys, break his budgets down. Do not let him spend $20,000 at one time. Make this go over 6 months so that he needs to know the consistency is everything."
Mm-hmm.
All right. Make sure he's consistent. Take those 30 songs. You know, we have artists, you know, like even like Amari Hardwick.
Yeah.
Amari has a great album full of like spoken word.
Yeah, spoken word. Yeah, poet.
Marsha Ambrose to like CeeLo. He has everybody. Everybody you would think of is doing a song with him. And he came and he said, "D, I want to put these all out. I got 50 songs I want to put out for my 50th birthday." Whoa, let's just take time. Let it settle in and get people a chance. Because you don't want to waste. The way people think, when they go hear it, they heard it all.
Right.
So, you know, even when you listen to like a 20-song record, like a Beyonce record, like you still don't even remember Renaissance now after the country record came out. Because the attention span of everybody, when you throw it at them like that and it's big enough, they listen to it, it's like eating. They eat it all up and then they go, "Okay, now what?" And you're like, "Damn, she just made two great albums within 6 months." And they're going, "Okay, what's next?" Right? So that's the attention span that we're dealing with at this point. And I think for artists who's trying to make it, you know, from DAD, the other ones have been done. DistroKid's been done, United Masters has been done, AWOL's been done, TuneCore's been done, and all of them either generated 900 million, 450 million, 90 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a few different things involved. You got emails involved, you got content, you got people, databases that's been built at the same time. So when I look at what I want to do, I look at like Virgin Records in a way, like the way Richard Branson built Virgin. He had unique artists, and they still had a place that you're like, "Damn, how is he gonna break those?"
Yeah,
I'm determined it's another way to break them. They don't have to have, like I said, if you can get to 10, you can get to 100,000.
Yes,
and if you have a team of people on this side, like I look at our labels as partnerships.
Yep,
you know, even though they own everything, it doesn't do me any good if you go out and you don't be successful on it.
Yeah,
because then I ain't gonna make no money either.
For sure.
You know, so it's all the advice that we got and all the information that my staff has is the difference in us and anybody else.
Yeah,
you know, it's, like I said, it's. What are they going to talk to you about, like a DistroKid? You know, we had Pooh Bear sign up, and he's like, "Man, I was a DistroKid. They told me my name was too big to be on there." I was like, "Good, that's why he's supposed to be over here with us."
Exactly.
That is the difference, is we are in the industry. We do know as people. Like a lot of the artists that's bigger now, if you looked up the last 10 years, don't even really have record deals. They either at Empire. They had some in the independent distribution thing. Either took too much to deal with them at the point that they got big or something, but... It's hard to find that middle. Like, who's at a distribution company that knows the record business and still deals with people from the record business and still can say, "Hey, man, so you want to get your show, you want to get that record, you probably should put it on mix shows. You probably should go see X at New Music Monday.
Is that Big X?
So, where is that? That's here? What do I do? How do I do?" Because they all live in the digital world so much.
They don't know that it's a place. They don't know it's an outside world where they can go be an artist.
You know, Shazam is the big, if they got to hear your record somewhere where a bunch of people can hear it at once. All right, that's the main goal. Whether it's the club, whether it's the radio station, whether something, a lot of people hearing it at once is what you got to get to. A lot of times when you're streaming and you're new, you done narrowed it in to either the people you know or only a few. That's why you do see people with 3, 5, 10, whatever streams. But and I look at those people and say, "Damn, you didn't even tell your folks about it."
Yes, you didn't even go streaming
you
yourself.
Didn't go stream it yourself.
At least, like, I mean, you get 10. You get, I think, is it 24? Then you get 24 or 10 streams a day that you're allowed to stream that will count.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't leave your song on repeat for like 24 hours.
Yeah, you can't let it go.
You gotta, I think every account gets 10 to like, either it's 10 or 24, I'm not sure the number, but you get that many streams that Spotify will allow you to count, or the other DSPs will allow you to count to say that's a stream, but you can't just like leave it on.
If we would see people, if I go and I see people sitting at 0 or 3 or 4 or 5, then I'll be like, "Okay, we need to, that doesn't work. We need to stop letting that in."
Yep.
Because we're wasting our time and our energy.
And the tech of the bandwidth, that's important.
The bandwidth gets wasted up by people. So I want to, you know, from DAD, know that when you're part of us now, some people don't get, once they, they send an invite, they don't get signed up. It's just, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Like we want to filter, we want to make sure that it's an environment full of creatives for real and a creative community that value that creative community.
Yeah.
So it's not about if you have a million or 10,000, it's like, what is your, how steady are you? I'd rather see a person with a bunch of songs that stream low than one song that streamed at, oh, this one got, you know, 2 million streams and this one got 6,000 and this one got 2. I'd rather see a bunch of them that's at 30 or something there. It shows she has a consistent fan base, or shows that they're doing the work to keep feeding the beast.
Yeah, for sure.
If you stop feeding that beast, you know, you have to start over again now.
Yeah.
It's so many artists that's coming out, like I said, daily. It's we got to find a new way. And I think it's just time for a new direction. And
yes.
Share is going to be the new shift.
Yes. That's what,
when we get everybody into the share mentality.
What does shares mean? What do you mean that?
So when you go to DAD, it's going to give you two choices. It's going to say share, or it's going to say request invite. You request invite, that's going to say, okay, I want to be on Apple Music and 200 DSPs. You hit the share button, and it's going to say, okay, load up here and pick your own rate. So say if you loaded up a thing to share today, and you say, I want $5 for it.
Yeah. Right?
Then it sends it back to you like that, and then everybody buys it for that $5. And it goes straight to your account. Now, if you and him did it together, it'll go to yours and yours at the same time. And it's by email.
Oh, wow.
So let's say.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it. And I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV.
We wrote a song, and all three of us wrote a song. And say, Aaron, I don't know his wallet address. So I just need his email.
Gotcha.
To send him his 25%.
And it automatically goes.
It automatically goes to him.
So I want to ask you, when you have a lot of artists on your platform, what are the ones that do right? Let's remove talent, because we obviously know you got to have talent because you are a real music man, right? But what does one have to do for you to say, I want to work with them hand to hand out of all the people on my platform? What do you look for talent that does? And their team, by the way.
And I've done that actually too. I've listened to stuff and said, who is this? And
yeah,
they got their stuff together. We should work with them. One of the things you look at is how aggressive, but how consistent they are.
Yes.
And like the way they maneuver, like you almost feel like, damn, who's keeping with that person? How they loading up this music, and how they got this many followers, and how they got this going on? How do they got this? If I'm asking that question, then we in.
Yes.
Because somebody's doing the work.
Yes.
And I love people that do the work.
For sure.
I'm a big fanatic of people. If you're an artist right now, if your phone ain't stuck to your face 24/7, you probably ain't doing the work.
Nope.
And that's a hard thing to do. All of us is a hard thing to do. We don't want to be like, oh, every minute I got to do this. But the ones you see doing this
works
all day long.
But you know what I say? Live your life like you normally do.
Yeah.
Just keep the camera
on. Keep the camera on.
So like, I'm not saying like artists, I think they have it in their mind that we want them to go like put on a show.
No.
Like, nah, don't put on a show. But if you hang in with your boyfriend, just film it like this, my baby. A caption might come out of that.
Yep.
You can use a song lyric as a caption and play the song under it in the background. So now people might be, because now they're not, and you don't have to say my song.
Yep.
Just put it out. Let people say, what song is that?
Yep.
Matter of fact, I want to use that same sound for me and my boyfriend when we're out. Or I want to use, or like if you look at Hours and Hours, like Hours and Hours was an opportunity to celebrate our love with a montage of videos and pictures and everything. And we all want to do that, right? So now, when we do it with Money Long's Hours and Hours playing, we're part of that community of people that did it.
Yep.
I could have did the same thing and used it. Ain't What About Your Friends by TLC, but it wouldn't have hit because people would have been like, what kind of trend is that?
Yep.
This is a trend we on. So you almost look uncool and uninformed if you don't know how to use social media. So you have I want to segue and we're going to come back. But I want to segue because Dallas has an artist here. Now, to defend you, I have to defend you. You got to be quiet. Just let your brother take care of this.
All right.
This artist, everybody on Dad, has a relationship with Chastity, who is the CEO of my company. So this artist, by the way, is smart. I'm going to bring you up in 1 second. Smart, because she could have easily said, I want to do the show. And by the way, when Chastity came to me, Chastity is so good. If Chastity, Rick, people on my team come and say, I got somebody I want to put on the show, there's no question. It's done. Mm-hmm. But then they said, oh, she's also bringing Dallas. So I want to make this known to the people at home. This is not Dallas doing an interview with Artist Spotlight by trying to say, Ray, I'm going to do an interview to get my artist on. This is an artist who said, I got a friend that works over there, so I'm going to call her. Oh, the guy that does the interviews is cool with Dallas Austin. I can pull him in.
That's when I got here. I asked him, I said, so question. How y'all know Ray?
And that's my point.
That's the point right
see,
there.
I want people to understand that. That is the artist who's like, I'm going to connect those dots.
Yeah.
So when people see this, they're like, oh, Dallas, I'm better, or I'm this, or why not? It doesn't matter how good you are. You got to learn how to use those relationships, those maneuvers. You might have to call a cousin of them and say, hey, look, I do music. Just tell you, like, you got to find a way in.
Find your angle in. Because if you look at it, how am I going to say, how am I going to have an artist that we work with say, and the management called me and say, yo, we're doing Ray Daniels next week. And I was like, you doing what?
Exactly.
Hold on. Well, I cannot.
And by the way, we've been talking about it, doing it. So it was kind of like, so I'm like, oh, wow. It finally, and they was like, no. This artist, I'm like, bring on the show.
Right.
He gonna look at me like I'm crazy.
I'm like, you a dad and you ain't come?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, I want people to understand this, that you have to work your move.
And
by the way, God is watching all of us. He's helping our steps. But I guarantee you, I don't care how much you pray or how better you are praying than me. If I got to get from 0 to 100 and I start walking, I'm going to get there a lot faster than you because you're sitting down praying. I'm going to pray too. But I'm going to walk as I'm praying.
I'm
not sitting down praying, hoping that a car comes and gets me there.
Preach.
I'm walking. I'm
work because smarter.
Let me tell you why. But you know what it is? It's telling the universe that I'm not going to give you an excuse.
That's right. That's the thing. That's one of the biggest things that I've seen in artists now, right? Because of, you know, I think they spoil with 5,000 people and they think, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But like, to do the actual work, they think they're doing it, but they're not, most of them. And it's getting lazy.
Yes.
99% of them.
I said that. I did a video where I said that. I said they think they're in rehearsal. This is not the rehearsal time. And I'm not saying don't rehearse. Mm-hmm. That is a very important part of it. But if you're not recording that rehearsal, if you're not using that rehearsal to show people this shit is hard. Because let me tell you something. People, it's like LeBron James' son is in the NBA right now. And I'm going to use it as an example. I haven't seen one person congratulate Bronny.
That's a trip.
No one says congratulations to Bronny. They say congratulations to LeBron for doing what you had to do get your son in the league. Bronny has to earn his congratulations by going out there and balling.
That's right.
As great as LeBron is, he got him in, but now you got to do that. And the point I'm saying is that everybody watching this, I want y'all to know, whether you know it or not, if you can upload your music to a Two Laws distribution, to a DAD distribution, to a TuneCore, you are officially in the music business.
You're in the music business at that point.
You might not realize it because you're not. But by the way, it doesn't look the same to us.
Yeah.
That's why I was so happy to see you at Shout Out to Tricky at the Sessions event, because that felt like the industry. You know, you miss those days when you walk in the room and see your peers at a table checking out talent. We don't have that anymore.
Yep.
So now, like you said, there are artists who are running around here making 6 figures a year, some making 7, and me and you have never heard of them. Never heard of them. And by the way, they don't even care if we do or not.
Don't even give a damn.
I don't give a fuck if Ray or Dallas know my music. I'm making something. I'll catch y'all on the ride.
Bought a new Lambo yesterday.
Boom. And then you got those other artists who are like, oh, Dallas, if you just gave me a chance. I'm telling y'all,
find
your way in, hit Jack Dans, or if you don't know Jack, then that's cool. Create a relationship. I got a guy I swear to God, y'all, I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to shout out his name. His guy's name Yimmy. Me and Yimmy are cool now. You know how we met? Yimmy calls me and says, hey, man, I want Teron to write to my beats. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? Mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm nobody, but look. And you've worked with Teron. Teron writes, but he's also probably the fastest writer. He's like, Teron can write a song in 20 minutes. And then he goes, I got X amount of dollars for Teron to write to my beats. And I'm like, you're going to pay him to write to your beats? And he's like, yeah. And I said, you know he's going to maintain his publishing, right? He goes, yeah, I don't care about that. I just want to write working on him. So he flew in town. He paid the money. He paid the money for two. Teron wrote both songs in an hour. So Teron made a nice little chump of change in an hour from this guy just showing up. Now, that made me look at him and say, damn.
Yeah.
You really serious? Because like a lot of doubts, because sometimes you know, because this is the thing that I want artists to understand. If you're willing to invest your money, that tells us you believe.
That's right.
And if you're asking me for a favor, that tells us you don't believe. You just want me to co-sign you to the world so they can see you. But you don't know that that don't mean anything without you earning the fucking co-sign. So with that being said, we're about to come back. And when we come back, you're going to have Natalie Carr here with two R's. And I want y'all to know why she's here. I want y'all to have respect for how she got here. So let's bring Natalie in.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.